Welcome to Two Bards, One Mic. Insert interesting music here.
I swear we're actually going to get music one of these days.
Nah.
155.
155.
It's been a week.
It has been a week. And by the way, this week's podcast is brought to you by 100% whey isolate protein in strawberry flavor.
Oh, it is.
Okay.
Well, they didn't send me my check, so.
No.
No. So I guess on this side it's no way.
No way, yeah.
Yeah.
Mine, they didn't send me a check either. Sending them money.
Ah, gotcha. Yeah, that's pretty much the way it goes these days. So how you been, Scott?
By and large I've been okay. It was kind of a rough and frustrating end to last week. And I've been battling allergy / sickness symptoms. And I've going to the gym. Haven't really mentioned it, but I'm at 2 months now, 3 days a week with a personal trainer. So
woo-hoo.
I'm usually in a perpetual state of pain. Today was a leg day. It was really hard to walk the mile home. We did some stuff that I've never done to fatigue, where I literally looked like a 6 month old, could have had my hands held up over my head and somebody else's fingers, and done a really good approximation of a baby who can't walk. My trainer was laughing his ass off.
I bet.
But, well, you know, it feels good, so.
Yeah. I'm glad you're doing that, and I'm glad that it's working out for you, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just sick. I've been sick for, like, a week and a half, 2 weeks now.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's not good.
Congestion and coughing. My nose has been, like, I woke up today and it felt like I was carrying about 5 pounds of snot in my head.
Yeah,
just yay sickness.
Yeah, I know the feeling. And so I apologize for any sniffles that I'm gonna try and catch them and at least turn away from the microphone, but if I don't, my deepest and sincerest apologies.
You definitely got some teapot S's going on today though. Like high whistle S. It might just be because I'm using a different set of headphones, but.
Oh no, I'm sure that I have some whistling going on.
Nice. So what you been up to? Go ahead and let's talk about our weeks.
Yeah. I really tried to figure out what in the heck I have done this week. It's been very busy. I'm not sure if we've talked about it, and I think I'm at a point now where I can talk about it. Don't you think
sure.
so?
If it's what I think it's about, then yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I am currently working on building out the new Dead Gentleman Zoe storefront for merchandise, films, digital downloads, the whole nine yards. So we've been taking everything that we have everywhere, Paizo, Drive-Thru RPG, VHX, everything is still going to be offered in those outlets, but if you come to dead.market, when that is, I am hoping, desperately hoping for a pre-Christmas launch.
the ultimate goal is by first of the year. But it's been a difficult task gathering everything together from all the very different sources and people, and do we still have these original files, and trying to create some new artwork and knowing that there's some new things going on that we just kind of found out about. So we've had to pull some things, and learning a new storefront system has been good. It's fairly easy to come up to speed. It's just anyone who knows anything about e-commerce, robust e-commerce, there's a lot that goes into building all of that out. So I'm working a lot with Don Early to get all the product information and all the stuff from the backer kits from the Demon Hunters Kickstarter, and for the Darkness Rising Blu-ray Kickstarter, everything that's on backer kit there. So people are going to see a lot of new products that haven't really been offered to the global general public. So I'm pretty excited about that. Did some more work on my buddy, the design builder down in Vancouver, Washington, on his site, put up another project that's just amazing. He did an extension on two sides of a house. One included a covered walkway out to this kick-ass patio, barbecue, smoker, hot tub, television, outdoor area that's just amazing, and the inside looks incredible as well. So blackcatdesignbuild.com if you want to go check out some of Chris's work. He's done some pretty amazing things. And then Andy helped me. Oh, by the way, Mark likes the logo.
Oh, good.
Andy's helping me with getting a logo finessed for my trainer, because I'm going to build out his website. So Smash Fitness will be coming to Warrington very, very soon online. And by very soon, I mean after Dead Dom Market's done.
Of course, of course.
But yeah, that's been about the week. Jen and I have watched some pretty good movies. We watched whatever the Finding Nemo sequel is about Dory, Finding Dory, Dory's parents.
Yeah, Finding Dory is the name of the...
That was really good. BFG, which I thought was something else, was...
it is. Amazing. It is something else. Come on. It's
amazing
something else.
Movie. I knew nothing about Big Friendly Giants at all. Mm-hmm. Never
so,
read.
So this wasn't about the hidden gun in Doom then.
No, nor the monster drink that I used to the can right. that I used to have, the BFG can of Monster, which was what 48 ounces, I think.
Oh, Jesus.
It was like the equivalent of 3 16-ounce. So, yeah, 48. And that was just, you know, incredible. Did watch Suicide Squad just because I wanted to see what they did. And it was C minus, D maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
It's good for a DC comic movie adaptation type deal. I thought they did a good job in sort of a here's all the key players in 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. So they did a really nice, you know, okay, here's a backstory. But some of it, like Deadshot. I like Arrow's Deadshot much better. He actually doesn't have an eye, and it's an actual prosthetic as opposed to just this thing that he puts on. The characters I didn't relate to. Jared Leto tried to channel Heath Ledger in a unique way as the Joker. But everything just didn't seem to work. It didn't connect. I mean, Harley Quinn had some really funny jokes, but I don't know if it was the timing of the edit. I don't know if it was the support around it. It was watchable, but there were no stakes. I wasn't, invested or cared about whether anybody won or not. And I like a lot of the actors and actresses in it. So that was sad.
Yeah. Yeah. I still haven't watched it yet. I want to, want is a strong term. I can tell from what I've seen that I don't think I'm going to like it very much. I think it's going to be a C-minus movie for me as well. But I definitely, don't just want to be talking out of my ass. So I want to watch it before I talk about it too extensively. I will say that I know that the house that cut it, the final cut they took, is a trailer house. Like, I don't know if it's their first feature, but they're mostly music videos and trailers. So that to me screams money grab, because that's the lowest common denominator type of editing. But I definitely want to see it. I do agree with the Deadshot thing. There's a lot of comic book avenues you could have taken, though, and Will Smith's is kind of one where he's got the cybernetic eye instead of the, the beam and everything like that. But I think Arrow kind of nailed it, so I'm kind of with you there.
Yeah, I mean, Will did a good job. It was just, and at least for him, the state, he was the only one with reasonable stakes, and a reasonable leverage. And so, yeah, that's where I'm going to leave it. It wasn't as bad as I thought it would be, but it was nowhere near. I mean, I still think it's better than Batman v Superman.
That bar is so low.
I know.
But
it's apples to apples, because Ben Affleck show up in this movie. So,
unfortunately, it's a Shannon Hamilton. So that was weird.
Say what now?
I said, unfortunately, it's a Shannon Hamilton, his character from Mallrats.
Oh, yeah. it was really incongruous.
Yeah. He and Deadshot end up in a very uncomfortable place. Like the backseat of a Volkswagen.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. Cool. Anything else massively pressing, or is it just pretty much that you get run through the ringer by someone three times a week now, and so you just want to die all the time?
It hasn't been. It was that way early on. I was, and Mark's great. He's very, he's a very good motivator, and can find, how do I want to put this, nice things to say. I have faith that he means it, but it's like, when I was getting about the 1 month mark, I was really getting, and the fact that we use kilos over here instead of pounds,
that's going to make you feel good up front, though.
No, I'm working out with 18 kilos. It's like, oh my God, seriously?
I didn't mean on the lifting. I meant on the weigh in.
Oh yeah, that part's great.
Yeah,
but I haven't weighed myself. We talked about it, and we're both of the mindset that weight is a number, muscle weighs more than fat, and what I'm going for is constantly increasing reps and or weight as my progress. You know, how do I feel? How do I carry myself? How that to me is more important than a number on a scale. And so I know from when I went to see the doctor that I'm not where I want to be. I think I'm getting closer. I haven't been eating horribly bad, but I need to eat a little less, a little more often. And that's sort of the next thing for me. So I need to get, like, everything's done in weight. So I need to get a scale. Christmas is coming. So a lot of these things were good ideas for the family back home to, you know, do simple Christmas gifts or whatever. So kind of waiting around for that to transpire. But by and large, you know, he'll say, like I'll be down about the weight or something, and he'll remind me, and I will remind myself that I haven't really done this for since A Few Good Men.
Yeah, right.
You know, so a decade, I haven't consistently gone and worked on this stuff. And he said, you know, look, your form is great. I don't have to worry about that with you. I show you something once. And he says, most people, after a month, we're still working on form and not starting to move to the next level. And he said, we're already doing that. So like today, he's of the philosophy, which I am too, in that if you do the same thing, you know, if it's always, I'm going to go do biceps and triceps and this on Monday and then on Tuesday, your body starts to figure it out. And so he keeps everything in flux, and we have four or five different things that we do. So we'll do arms, chest, back, legs, shoulders. So it's never on a Monday I'm doing something. It's, you know, it's kind of this rough approximation of these things. And then we do different workouts in those areas. So like today was leg extensions, 100 to fatigue. And, you know, we started with 39, 42 kilos, which I think is 110 pounds, and ended up, started at 110 pounds and finished at 40 pounds. But it was, you just do these until, you know, either the burn is so bad or you hit, you know, you just can't lift it anymore. And you either take 10 seconds to let the burn go away and go again, or you drop down one stack. And I was like, well, at least it wasn't the last stack. And he's like, no, this is where we want to be. So, you know, that's been motivating me to a point of, you know, he finds a good way to talk about it. And the other thing is, he's not, he had a body like I have. He's considerably younger, and he figured it out earlier. But he was, you know, the kid picked on in school and, you know, working at ASDA and just not happy with what was going on. And he just decided to, you know, I'm going to make a change. And, you know, he's shown me pictures and of before, and I look at him now, and his big character is the Hulk, and he looks like that. He's a barrel-chested, triangular-shaped dude. And
very green. He's very, very green.
Yeah, that too. And always wears purple shorts for some reason. I don't understand that.
Well, I mean, if you're green, you know, you want that complimentary sort of...
Yeah.
Or that's allegorical, isn't it? I don't remember my color theory.
You know, it's nice, and he knows where, you know, where I'm at. And so he can talk to that and relate it in a way that that is immediate for me. So I'm very lucky to have him as a trainer to get me to this point. And so we'll see how it goes.
Very cool. Very cool. Glad to hear that he's switching you up. That way you'll be in constant pain, and that just makes me feel good all week. knowing that Scott's just dying a little inside and outside.
That's important.
Every day. Yes.
Oh, and we get our replacement freezer should be here tomorrow.
So it's been over
a week without a freezer.
Right.
And we're going to York this weekend, I believe.
That's the old one, not the new one, right?
Correct. Old York, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, and I hate to, I hate to burst your bubble. I think it was like closer to 92 pounds, right? Because it's 2.2 pounds per kilo.
Sure.
Sorry, I was just like, because that'd be like, what, 84 plus 8.4, which would be 92.4, I think. Oh, clickety-clack. He's looking it up, folks.
I'm sorry. I was at 49 kilos, 110 pounds.
Okay, 49 kilos. Got it.
And 42 is 92 and a half.
Cool. So, yeah. That's awesome. I think I'm really happy to hear that you have found someone who works for you. And I know for a fact that without a personal trainer, I can't do... I can keep up with a routine for maybe 2 weeks, but I can't get to that critical mass where it becomes kind of part of your life. Mm-hmm. And I've tried having a trainer before, but, you know, I mean, once the money runs out, they're not really in it for your benefit. So once the money runs out, it wasn't so good. And this was at a time when I did not have tech income coming
right in.
So, yeah, but I think that's really awesome that you have found something that works. So keep it up.
Gonna try.
Woo.
So how about your week?
Okay, so let's see. I've talked a little bit about the recording thing I was doing because I started it before the last podcast, but I finished it this week. So 3 days at Bad Animals, which is a Seattle-based recording studio. Very cool place. A lot of games and local films, and even some not local films, do their post-audio work there and their VO work and all that jazz. So it was really cool, kind of, you know, standing where they stood sort of thing. Valve is a good example of a company that uses them a lot. So it was really cool. There was a lot of posters, a lot of stuff from people we know. Like there was a Laggies poster there. There was stuff from Keith Bowling, which that was really cool to see Keith Bowling's name up on the wall. Keith and Corey. There was. Oh man, there's just lots of stuff from lots of people. I mean, I saw Gar Godfrey's name on the wall. I saw, you know, obviously Lynn Shelton, obviously Megan Griffiths. They were all over the place. So it was neat to go see a bunch of stuff that people I know did on a wall alongside a bunch of stuff. People that I have known my whole life have done, you know, so that was really cool.
And Bad Animals was started by Hart, right?
I'm not sure.
I think it's Anna Nancy Wilson studio.
Oh, okay. I know that Wendy, it was the manager that was on the clock when I was there, so that's who was kind of running the show. So that was a lot of fun. It was hard work. And it was really, really hard work because I was sick. So mm-hmm. that was not fun. Aside from that, I did get to hang out with Connor Marks on Friday evening. Saturday after he wrapped. So he's in town for Chaldea, along with Sarah Moore. And so I'm getting a call. So can you go ahead and vamp for a bit?
Sure.
Thanks.
Hello.
Yeah, not quite sure what I'm going to vamp about. Let's see.
I have to run outside for a bit, so we may have to actually edit this a little here.
Okay.
So, I will be right back.
And we'll be back in a few. Alrighty. Stay tuned. All right, so we're back from, even sure where at this point.
So I had a delivery show up, but he couldn't find the place because nobody knows how to read a street sign or read numbers.
Right.
He was at 5'10". I'm at 5'12". He went the other way where the numbers were decreasing because also, you know, math.
Right.
Yeah. And I mean, not to get too political, but I do know who he voted for because it was on his truck. So, yeah. Sorry about the weird edit. I know we never edit, but here's a weird edit out of nowhere, and I don't even remember what we were talking about.
I don't either, and I can't go back. We were talking about your week.
My week, and I talked about everybody's in town. Connor Marks, Sarah Moore, they're in town for Chaldea.
Mm-hmm.
And so Connor came over on Saturday and we tried to stream some video games, at twobards.tv. That's a redirect to Twitch, which is for those of you who don't know, Twitch is a service where you can watch people play games instead of actually engaging and playing a game yourself, which apparently is a thing now. So I was, the NES Classic, was the system of choice from Connor. Well, the system of choice from Connor was originally going to be the Dreamcast with Power Stone, but we could not find the audio cable. So the system ended up being the NES Classic.
Ah.
Right. So we streamed a bunch of games, thought everything was going great. Nobody tuned in. We had... at one point, I think we had two viewers, and then they went away. So we're like, okay, whatever. You know, people can watch it on the archive, because after we had finished the Journey Quest live editing session, I turned on archiving again. Well, apparently it didn't take, so there's no archive either. So basically, it was just Connor and I talking to nobody. So that was awesome. Twitch. Eh, whatever. I mean, I really want to get it set up and working, but I don't want it to just be me. Like, that's no fun to watch just a person playing games. You know, having two people bantering back and forth is kind of fun. So, anywho, pardon me. So, yeah, that's where that ended up. And then on Sunday, I went to the Chaldea set, which was really cool. It looks amazing. Jordan and Blue are kind of the department heads for art. And then, of course, Bandersnatch Studio is doing the makeup. So everything is just super high quality. And it looks incredible.
Nice.
Very cool set. And then, I think that's about... it. Oh, well, then there's the big thing we did, which is we handed Journey Quest over to Zoe directly to finish up post, because, man, that project is cursed. It is just straight up cursed. I think we should, instead of calling it Journey Quest Season 3, we should call it Journey Quest 2016, because then everybody will be like, oh, okay, yeah, that's why it's cursed.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So I finished up last night the Orcish and Trollish, I guess, subtitles. And sent those off to Ben. And then he's going to... There's not much left. I just can't load it. Because this is my theory. Well, it's not a theory. This is my hypothesis. So... Apple removed all QuickTime support for Windows. They just said, fuck it. We're not supporting Windows anymore. QuickTime Player, blah, not going to work. And they just bailed on it. Now, creatives are notoriously terrible at doing security patches and security updates. So my guess is everyone else in this chain is working with an older version of QuickTime when they try to load this stuff on Windows. And I'm using the stripped down version, the one that doesn't have any of the web, it doesn't have any of the web features at all.
Uh-huh.
And I've patched, and Microsoft has released patches around QuickTime vulnerabilities. So my guess is the reason I can no longer conform these QuickTime files is because I'm on Windows, and that sucks. But rather than spend, 3 weeks trying to get it figured out, Ben just basically said, well, I've got the 5K Retina Mac, so we're just going to, let's just do it that way. I was like, cool. So drop those drives off yesterday. And it is in the last stretches or throws, I guess. Now, I hope it's not throws, but it's in the last bit of its post life. So
right now I have a question that I just want to ask, and I'll just ask here because I can. So we're doing a feature and an episode deliverable,
right?
Because feature is what apparently we've always done on the DVD. And episode is how we're going to release on the web. But my thing has been since the beginning that for the feature, we should finally treat it as such. And after the first title screen comes up, much like any other feature, you start listing your main cast, your director, your producers, so that it has the feel of a feature, not just this is a stripped down episodic thing. And I mean, I've done plenty of movie reels for people and put stuff up there that, fades in. This is, Lady Killers, and this is Run, Hide, Die, and this is a bit of bad luck, and it comes in and fades out, and that's all that you have to do for that, correct?
I mean, yeah, you basically the easiest way to do it is to pick a timing and make a template out of that timing for the fade in, fade out,
right?
And then just make a series of titles that are the names of people in a pleasing font. Usually on opening credits, it's a flat white font of some type. And then you just pick an area on the sort of like lower right or lower left of the screen to pop stuff in and out. And that's normally how it's done. There's a lot of precedent for features that don't have any lead credits, but it's definitely sort of an 85-15 split, where 85% of features have lead credits, whereas only about 15% don't show credits until the very end. So,
right, but it's not a complicated thing, and it's
no, it's not. It's not super Well, it's only as complicated as the project is as a whole. So, in this case, it might be kind of complicated on account of nothing fucking works ever,
right?
Because it's cursed.
But it's something that I could do and go, boom, here's the thing, slap it in and go. And it's done.
I think so, yeah. I think so. Obviously, the issue would be you'd have to isolate, you'd basically have to isolate an alpha channel. So what you would do for your side is on the feature cut that you have, you would create these layers, and you know, you create the title layer, essentially go through and do all the title layer stuff. Then you would essentially isolate that channel. You would shut off all the other visuals and audio, and you would export that as an alpha video and then send that to whomever, and they could just literally put that whole thing on top of the feature cut, and it would look exactly as you expected.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Awesome. So I'll be doing that this week.
Okay.
Because
all right,
I really feel that that should be there for the feature, and that's something I can do. Even if we can't open up the stuff, we do have a quote locked. At least the first 20 minutes are locked.
From your standpoint, so the biggest problem that you're facing right now, and for people at home, if this is boring, sorry, but the biggest thing you're facing right now is you no longer have assets. Everything we were doing up before it went to color correction was all from the same source files.
Yep.
Everything was the same. So you could pass a project file around and it would pick up the changes and apply them to the source, and it would look the same everywhere. Now that we've color corrected, because I think you have access to the VFX, so that wouldn't be too much of an issue to pull those down and
line those. I have all the VFX.
Yeah. So that's not a big deal. But the color correction is essentially another copy of the movie. And those are all in ProRes, and that's why I'm having trouble with them. Originally, we'd asked for them to be delivered in a universal format, digital negative specifically, so digital negative HR, and that's which, if you're playing at home, there's digital negative HD, which is 1080p standard, and then there's digital negative HR, which are the higher UHD and above standards for digital negative. So it's a format that maintains all of the color information and things like that. So it's essentially a transport format, kind of like ProRes used to be. And so that's what we asked for delivery in. It's like, hey, give us this thing, because you can use it on anything. You can use it on Linux editors. Like, it is a universal format, whereas ProRes is very much locked to Apple.
Yeah.
And what we got was ProRes. So be it. Anyway, Ben's taking all that over. You're doing the titles. Everything's crazy. It's great. So. All right. Well, that's it for my week. That was actually quite a bit of stuff. I guess I also rented some gear to Connor. So keep your eye out. If you follow Chaldea or Peter Atkinson or Connor Marks, you should see, hopefully fairly soon, a posting from them that is whatever they recorded with the gear that I rented them. So, and I think you'll like it, because I know what it is.
Good. Oh, cool. Oh, another thing that I did was I got Jen's group of PAs into Slack. So I created a new channel for them, and I've got some more people accepting invitations, which is great. So I got to get that squared away. They didn't really have a private channel for them to discuss that wasn't sort of overseen by administration. And so I took all the emails and we created a new Slack, and then I've broken it down to public channels, direct messages, of course, and then broke out the various areas that they're in. So like all the Warrington PAs can all talk within themselves and not bog everybody from Sheffield and Leicester and Hillingdon and all that down with conversations. And so that's where we're doing the grand experiment. So we'll see how that goes. But so far it seems to be going pretty well.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah, so I'm out with weak stuff. You're out with weak stuff.
Let's
we had a pretty weak showing for questions. They're gonna be very quick.
That's fine.
And before we get to the questions, apparently mm-hmm. Mr. Brophy is dealing with some emergency. So we'll just mm-hmm. say, you know, sending good thoughts to your brother and hope everything's okay and look forward to your contributions again in the near future.
Yep. Stay strong, Brof.
All right. So the first question came in from Rob McLennan. Mm-hmm. Surprise, surprise. Okay. Rogue One. But are there any other movies you're looking forward to? I don't even know what's coming out.
I mean, we can keep... I mean, if we're being honest, like, yeah, Rogue One and also the rest of the Star Wars films. Like, I'm pretty excited about all of them.
Yes.
Unfortunately, Rogue One, of course, is the only one we'll be getting this year, and then it'll be another year until Episode 8. So, yeah, definitely excited about Rogue One. As far as like the comic book franchises go, I definitely want to see the new Black Panther film when that comes out. I was disappointed. That's not fair because, like I said, I think that Doctor Strange was decent. It was an okay film. It was not one of my favorite movies by a long shot, but it was okay. So I wouldn't say that it soured me at all, but it definitely kind of reduced my passion or my excitement about upcoming Marvel movies.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, Guardians 2, still kind of interested in seeing that.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, I think that's a next summery kind of thing. Jeez, I wanted to see Mad Max in black, white, and chrome.
Oh, which they were playing.
Yeah. But I was not able to get there before Fantastic Beasts took over.
Mm.
I will be seeing Fantastic Beasts this week with my kids mm-hmm. when I go to Idaho. I'm not excited.
What about Miss Peregrine's?
Oh, no way. After listening to interviews around Tim Burton and everything, I don't give a rat's ass about that film. He soured me, but additionally, it never interested me. I never read the books.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't interesting for me at all. So that's not one I'm really down to clown with. I will say that Aquaman looks well. I'm holding out hope, even though I've been hurt so many times by DC, that the new Justice League and Aquaman films are going to be at least interesting.
Yeah, me too. If they fuck up Aquaman, I'm going to be pissed.
If they fuck up Aquaman, if they fuck up Wonder Woman, I'm going to be pretty upset. Justice League itself, I mean, it's going to have Snyder's Superman in it, so I'm definitely not holding out a huge ton of excitement for that.
Yeah.
But the stuff I've seen for it has been good, and Batfleck is definitely the best part of Batman v Superman.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm cautiously optimistic, I suppose, about that whole thing. I'm not excited about it. I'm not really excited about anything except for Rogue One. That is the only movie that's coming out that I'm genuinely like, oh man, I'm thinking about when I'm going to get tickets and if I want to ask for time off so I can go to a midnight screening and stuff like that. That's the only one right now, to be completely honest.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
How about you?
I'm excited about that one, and I'm also, now that I know who got cast, I'm excited about the next one in that series for the Han Solo story.
Right. Oh, crap. Hold on. Time out. During my week, sorry about so the shuffling around and everything, I forgot to say, Jay Blanken, thank you so much. Jay sent us, are you ready for this? Jay sent us all three Super Nintendo Star Wars games.
That's so awesome.
Super Star Wars, Super Return of the Jedi, Super Empire Strikes Back. Yeah, that's out of order. Sorry. But huge thanks. We are totally going to play those soon. I love Super Star Wars. I just want to find the right person with whom to play. And unfortunately, that right person is sitting in Warrington right now.
Yeah.
I kind of want to do the thing where I go out and get really good at them and then be like, oh, this is my first time. But I don't really want to do that.
I'd like to hold off. It won't make any difference.
That's true. It's really hard. They're sitting right next to the Retron 5, and they're just sitting there staring at me, and I'm like, oh, no. I want this experience to be fresh when we actually stream and archive. But again, Jay, that was so cool. Thank you so much.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry to interrupt. I just we were talking about Star Wars, and it clicked, and I'm like, oh, crap, I forgot to say thank you.
I guess the only other thing that I'm not necessarily movie, but movie-ish, is Andy posted this earlier, the new Unfortunate Events with NPH as, what's his name? Olaf?
Count Olaf, yeah.
I'm kind of intrigued by that and seeing the little bits at the beginning. It was like, oh, I know that. Is that Kelsey Grammer? No. Is that David Hyde Pierce? No. It's Neil. So
it is Neil.
Yeah. That's another one that I would be excited about.
And Patrick, don't forget Patrick Warburton as Lemony Snicket himself. So that's pretty cool too.
What?
There's a teaser that came out a couple months ago, and it's Patrick Warburton walking through the set as Lemony Snicket, so that was really cool. But Count Olaf, man, Jim Carrey, awesome, but if you had to go up from there, it's NPH.
Jim Carrey sold that entire movie for me. It was just watching it was like he orphan blacked the shit out of those. He's a character playing a character who's playing other characters, and the meta of that, you could see that it wasn't Jim Carrey playing other characters, it was this guy playing other characters, and I just so difficult to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Be an actor acting a part, let alone multiple parts.
Right.
So yeah, I thought from that aspect, I again not familiar with the stories at all, but totally that. That movie adaptation has me hooked on the new Netflix. I'm more excited about the new and continuing Marvel stuff on Netflix than I am about most movies, with the exception of Rogue One.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that Netflix is actually more my my path to excitement these days. Lemony Snicket is definitely one of those. Jessica Jones season 2 is going to be I'm really excited about that. I'm excited about some of the Marvel stuff that has not that doesn't have any representation yet. So that stuff always makes me I don't know. I've really, really liked especially Marvel on Netflix. Some of their originals have been kind of a miss lately. The biggest one, I'd say my biggest disappointment, and it's not fair to call it a bad film at all because it's not a bad film. It was just the expectation was so high that I felt like a little was Mascots. that was the Netflix original for Christopher Guest.
Yes.
Really, really, really great cast. Some very funny parts. Honestly, the English team. Have you seen Mascots yet,
Scott? Oh, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm
the English team was hands down the best. Well, the English team, Bob Balaban, and Ed Begley Jr. were the best parts of Mascots.
Well, and when the, I say the kid from Silicon Valley and Ghostbusters.
Jared. Yeah. Yeah.
I just love that guy.
He was great. He was absolutely great, too. And I kind of, I don't know, it's weird. I lump him with Ed Begley Jr. in a weird way. I think it's because of Ghostbusters. But yeah, that was good. I was actually very disappointed, and it's not his fault. I just don't think he's a strong improvisational actor. I felt that Chris O'Dowd did not add to the show at all.
I would say he was perfectly antithetical to what everybody else was.
That's my problem, though. It was improv. Being antithetical to improv makes you seem scripted, and he seemed very scripted compared to everybody else. He was the most scripted delivery, I think. And then like Fred Willard is so bizarre, and he's always the exact same character, and he nailed it again. He is exactly who he is in these films, and Jesus Christ, he's so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like, he makes you uncomfortable. It was awesome.
So the British couple,
yes,
she is the main caregiver in Derek, a Ricky Gervais Netflix. Which is awesome. And then her husband is in another Christopher Guest show with Chris O'Dowd. Mm-hmm. That had one season on, and I believe Ed Begley Jr. it's on HBO. I think it's called Family Ties. And
like not Alex P. Keaton.
No, okay. He's Chris O'Dowd, and his buddy who is the British husband. Chris O'Dowd finds out that he's got a lineage, finds an old picture and goes on this ancestry.com tour to find his roots. And his sister is a little bonkers and has this monkey puppet that is her best friend that she talks for. And they end up going to America, to that side of things, where there is Bob Balaban and Christopher Guest as South Carolinian family. Ed Begley Jr. is California family.
That's awesome.
Every episode, it's like another place, another clue, another I'm discovering these things. And It is. I cannot recommend it enough. It's the best thing Chris has done since IT Crowd.
Okay, I'll definitely check that out because I liked Moon Boy, but that might have actually been before. I don't think it was before IT Crowd. It might have been.
Moon Boy.
But Moon Boy is MOONE Boy. Mm-hmm. That's the family name. It's about just these Irish people. And it's a really like kind of sweet, funny, but like a little irreverent type of show.
Where is that available?
Hulu, I think.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have that.
Yeah. And then it's BBC, so you might be able to get it on BBC streaming over there. If you've got like Sky or BBC, you know, I think a lot of those places allow you to do BBC on demand. So give it a go. And yeah, so that was really cool. But yeah, aside from that, like, he doesn't have a ton of super, super strong performers outside of like IT Crowd. I think he was good in like Bridesmaids.
Yeah,
but he was definitely like a you know, a minor character.
Yeah, and Sisters, he's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. So
that was fun. But yeah, I would like to see him get more stuff. But I've liked him in everything. Yes, he was well, less improv-y, but I kind of liked him in Mascots just as the brooding, yeah, I'm a mascot, but fist. I'm really, yeah.
Yeah. And I also wish that Richard Iode would get more as well, because he is fantastic.
Oh.
Everybody from ID Crowd is fantastic, man. Everybody.
There is, Jen's here. Do you remember, say the name again?
Richard Iode?
Remember the travel show that we saw with Richard Iode, the other guy from IT Crowd? Do you remember the name of the... There is a British like travel show where he goes around, and it is bar none. He goes around with a celebrity, and the one that we saw was with Paul Rudd, and they went to some Scandinavian lutefisk type country and mm-hmm. went around sampling sweets, licorices, the only Burger King in a sauna.
Is it called Travel Man?
It could be Travel Man.
It's like Travel Man 48 hours in, and then they go somewhere. Yeah, yeah, it is. I see Paul Rudd. So
okay, yeah, we were, I don't even know where we were. I think we were in London in a hotel and just happened to turn on the TV and heard his voice. Mm-hmm. And we're like, just dropped everything and watched this thing. And it was just so funny. Yeah. So funny.
I really like him. I like Noel Fielding as well, who was dreadfully underutilized in IT Crowd, but to such a great end, because he was Richmond, the IT guy.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, you know, he did the Mighty Boosh and has done so much others. Noel Fielding is one of the funniest people. Again, like I was saying last time, we've been watching Would I Lie to You, which is streamable on YouTube illegally. And it's just been killing us. And so all of these British actors and actresses and like ex-PMs and shit show up, which is really, that's really funny. Huh. Naturalists and all these other people show up. And and they have like, occasionally they'll get someone like, you know, Richard or Noel Fielding to show mm-hmm. up. And it's just hilarious. So... still highly recommended. Go look up Would I Lie to You. Start it series one, episode one, and just go nuts.
how many episodes, seasons are there?
There are 10 series, and it's about, I think, it's the weird British, like 13 episodes a series or something.
Wow,
like that.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Well, they're half hour too, so. And it's a panel show. So I think that those are weekly.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Brilliant. Yeah. Our second question comes from yes. Paula Moran.
Hey, Paula.
And she asks if we, either of us, have contributed words to the Orcish language, and if so's, which one?
If so's, I'll tell you. I've contributed one in memory of my friend Kenny Stites, who... it's been, wow, it's 10 years now. He's been gone 10 years. But he, so stites, I think, is the word, and it just means laid back.
Because
he was a total chill dude.
Nice.
Yeah.
I want to say that I got to do one, but I can't remember what it was, so that probably means that I did not do one. If I could do Bard, I probably would, or
well, Scald's already there. I mean, that's been there since episode one of season one, so you couldn't do Bard,
right?
It has to be a word that hasn't been coined,
Right, but I'm thinking like how much XP for the bard, or maybe want to tune my mandolin. I don't know. I should go with
that's,
mandolin.
That's the word. Yeah.
Huh?
Oh no, you could do a word that doesn't exist in English, but that means like the lustiness that a bard has in his loins or something. So it's like a word that means that, and it could be like skobrana or something.
That would be good. But I believe that that question derives from the brand new, here's a shameless plug, Kickstarter that Matt Vansel just launched, and as of now has already succeeded in doing the Orcish English Dictionary version 2.
Yes, new words.
Because
new
of words. All the things that were added from season 3 and the various Kickstarters and mm-hmm. just fleshing things out, there's more stuff. So he did a Kickstarter to fund getting that rolled over into a brand new. I don't have my dictionary here with me. It's on the bookshelf back at the studio in West Seattle.
Right.
But he's going to have common phrasing sections. I don't know if that is in the current version or not. But he's going to have common phrasing. So if you're out, you know, on a romantic evening, there will be some Orcish phrases or work-related phraseology that you may want to have. So I think mm-hmm. it's going to be a little bit more dictionary slash, you know, when you're traveling in Orcish lands, you'll be able to pull mm-hmm. out the dictionary, and not only that, but you can, you know, ask directions to the bathroom in Orcish.
Right.
Because that's important. You know, when you go to some of those clans, yes. Some clans, yeah, you can go hang it off a cliff. Some clans, no. So you got to make sure you're, you know, doing the right thing in the right place.
Right, right. And yeah, you can, we'll put a link. Well, I'm sure that Lake Master General will put a link in the Bardic Knowledge. But if you just go to Kickstarter and search for Orcish, it will show up, or Vansel, it will show up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Don't search for.
He did the whole video in Orcish.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully mm-hmm. with subtitles, because I'm still not fluent, and I'm still glad that I can speak the mewling monkey language of the Humies, and I don't have Jeremy or Luke or Jesse's or even for that matter Emily's problem
yeah.
of having to get through entire conversations in Orcish. So,
yeah. Spoiler alert. I would say half of the subtitles I made were for Emily. So,
yes,
there you go.
There you go. And now that, you know, Matt's listening to the podcast, I'm sure that mm-hmm. in season 4, I will have plenty of Orcish to have to say now. So, thank you in advance, Mr. Vansel.
Yes, indeed.
Cool. Well, it looked like we were going to be short. Well, we still might be short with the
We still might be short after edit. We cut out the pit that we have to cut out, yeah. But that's kind of good because I've got to get to work, and then I've got to jump on a flight tonight, so I've got a lot to do today.
Oh, right. You're flying over this time. Yay.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess without further ado, a huge thank you to all of our Patreon backers, starting with Hawk Robinson.
Leslie Sedlak.
Jay Blanken.
Rob McLennan.
Zombie Orpheus Entertainment.
James Peters.
Gordon D. Duke.
Digby Davis, LLC.
Donald Evans.
Dougie Sharp.
Todd McKimmy.
Amanda Cook.
Lotta Jerv.
Tom Brophy.
Laura Adams.
James Herbert.
Adam Morey.
Tim Martin.
Paula Moran.
Matt Vansel.
Wish we could thank him in Orcish. Brad Roberts.
Yeah, is Matt and Vansel in Orcish yet? Jennifer Reifenberry.
And Rival Guy. And as always, Neil deGrasse Tyson. If you're listening.
If you're listening. If your ear holes are receptive to what we're cooking.
Right. Which will be Thanksgiving dinner, which you're invited to, Neil deGrasse. Please give us a shout out and come on our little podcast.
On the Seattle side, you're invited on to the Thanksgiving.
Because they don't really, I mean, I guess you guys could have something similar in like you guys could just make a fancy meal, but you're not getting the day off.
No. 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 And someone's not happy about not having the day off, but
I bet.
So yeah. But we do have a 3-day weekend and we will be in York, so there's a silver lining playbook somewhere.
Yeah. When you come back home, just, you know, make sure to take a boat and land on Plymouth Rock, and then, you know, it'll be a personal thing.